So let's review. The Gemara earlier inquired, Basa ikra azlinan, I basa tesefes azlinan. If something was harvested, replanted, and then continued to grow, does the extra part get the status of the original stalk? Or is it considered a separate entity? The Gemara now discusses this question regarding another halacha. Amdinu v'asrinu v'shaslinu v'isifalahu. If one estimated his harvest, separated ma'aser, and then replanted the ma'aser, and the grain continued to grow, If we were to say that the extra section is a distinct entity and requires ma'aser to be taken, what is the halacha regarding the original stalk? Now the Gemara points out, when one plants wheat or barley, the seed first decomposes, and so the entire new crop is certainly obligated ma'aser. However, the Gemara is inquiring about replanting a stalk where the original stalk remains intact. The Gemara cites a ruling from Rabbi Yochanan as proof. If one separates ma'aser from onions and then replants them, he must separate the regular ma'aser amount from the entire new crop, even though the onion does not decompose first, and yet one must separate ma'aser for the original amount as well. The Gemara differentiates as follows. The usual way to plant onions is to replant smaller bulbs. Therefore, the original volume is included in the new crop. However, since one does not ordinarily replant stalks of grain, the Gemara is uncertain whether the original amount is obligated in ma'aser. The Gemara poses another inquiry. Can one separate ma'aser from grain grown in one non-perforated flower pot on behalf of grain grown in another non-perforated flower pot? Now, if it's not perforated, it's not obligated in ma'aser at all. Rather, we're discussing a case where the grain grew in a non-perforated flower pot, it was then perforated, and the grain continued to grow. Therefore, as Rashi explains, if the original growth is exempt from ma'aser, then one must separate on behalf of the new growth from another grain, because one cannot separate from the original growth, which is exempt, for the new growth, which is obligated. However, if the entire grain is obligated, one can simply separate ma'aser from this grain. However, the Gemara answers, in this case, the grain really takes root only once the flower pot is perforated, and so the entire stalk is one entity and is therefore obligated. In the earlier case, however, the stalk was replanted, and so it is possible that we would consider them two separate entities. The Gemara proceeds with another inquiry. If an ear of grain attached to the stalk was fully processed in a pile, thus becoming obligated a ma'aser and was then replanted, and he designated it as truma while it was still attached to the ground. Perhaps the truma takes effect because since it was tevel, obligated in trumas and ma'asers, it does become truma. Or kiven the shasla pakale tavla mina. Perhaps the truma does not take effect because when it was replanted, it was no longer considered tevel, and so it does not become truma. All these inquiries remain unresolved. Zok the Mishnah. The following five types of grain, hachitin, wheat, basarin, barley, vakosam and spelt, vashibel shul, oats, vashipin and rye, hare'elu chayavim b'chala u'mitztar from zemze, are all obligated in chala, and they all combine with each other for the shir chala. The Gemara cites a braisa which teaches that kusmin min chitin, shibayla shul b'shipan min sairin. Spelt is a subspecies of wheat, and oats and rye are subspecies of barley. Therefore, Rashi explains, le'in chala, hachitin e'min starfin e'makol chutz min ha'kusmin, ha'sa'ur min starfin e'makol chutz min ha'chitin. Wheat only combines with spelt, while barley combines with everything except wheat. The Gemara infers, hani in oriz b'doichan loy. These are obligated in challah, but rice and millet are not. And the Gemara explains, Asya lechem lechem mimatzah. This is learned out of the Gzeirah Shavah of the following two psukim. The pasuk of challah, v'hoyi b'cholchem lechem ha'aretz. And the pasuk of matzah, lechem ayini. And we know that matzah can only be made from these five species from the following pasuk. L'seichel lov chametz, shibes yamim teichel lov matzahs lechem ayini. And we expound, d'varm habom l'dei chimutz, odom yoyitz ben yedei chavasa b'pesach. Yatzu elu she'im barim l'dei chimutz, elu l'dei sirchen. Matzah can only be made from grain that can become chametz, but rice and millet cannot become chametz. Rather, they spoil. The Gemara cites a related brisa. Hatvua v'akamachem v'abetzekes mitzarf mzemze. Grain, flour, and dough combine with each other. And the Gemara cites several applications of this principle. L'nyachadosh. One who eats a combined kezias of these items from the new crop before the aim is brought is liable malchus. L'nyachametz b'pesach. One who eats a combined kezias of these items on Pesach is liable to karas since they can all become chametz. L'nyamayser sheni. If one eats a combined kazayas of Maisa Shenim, these items outside of Yerushalayim, he's liable to Malkus. Lina Tumas Eichlin. They all combine to form a kebeya to be susceptible to the Tumah of foods. And the Bryce is teaching us, Tavu v'kamachin dumi de betzekis. Mahasam uchla be'enei, avhacha nami uchla be'enei. Just as dough is a full kebeya of actual food, so too one is only liable for actual food of the grain and flour, but not for the husks or the bran. The Gemara cites two contradictory brises regarding this halacha. One brisa rules, chita, bein klufa, bein she'en the klufa mitztarefes, even unpeeled wheat combines for tumas eichlin. However, sa'ira, klufa mitztarefes, she'en the klufa in the mitztarefes, only peeled barley combines. On the other hand, the second brisa cites a pasuk, I'll call zera zerua she'yizara, and expounds, kederech she'bnei adam mitzin lezria, chita b'klifasa, v'sa'ir b'klifasa, v'adoshim b'klipasin. Wheat, barley, and lentils are susceptible to tumah even unpeeled. The Gemara answers, Habalachas habayavashis. The moist husks combine because they protect the kernels. But dry husks do not combine because they do not protect the kernels since they wither and fall away. The Mishnah continues, Vasur b'chadish melifnei ha-pesach u'maliktzer melifnei ha-omer. And their new crops are forbidden to be eaten before Pesach and they may not be harvested before the omer. And the Mishnah concludes, Im mishrishu kaidim la-omer ha-omer matirin v'imlav asur nachriyav ha-omer abba. If they took root before the omer permits them. But if not, they remain forbidden until the next year's Omer. I think Gemara brings a machlekes how to understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kaidim Havas HaOmer. This means that it needs to take root before the Omer is brought. Rabbi Yosi Bar Zavda Omer Kaidim Kitziras HaOmer. It needs to take root before the Omer is harvested. The Gemara now cites the source that Omer Matir Bahashrasha. The Omer permits grain that took root and cites several psukim. The Ayil Shlish, grain that reached a third of its growth becomes permitted by the Omer, as the pasuk says, Aviv. Lav mechlal de'ika de lav aviv, the grain for the omer must be ripe, implying that crops that are not ripe also become permitted. Additionally, shachas, grain that has begun to grow and can be harvested for animal food, becomes permitted by the omer, as the pasuk says, mehachal chemish. Lav mechlal de'ika de lav bar chemish, the grain for the omer must be fit for harvest, implying that even crops that are not ready for harvest crops also becomes permitted. Additionally, agam, grain that began to grow but did not yet become bendable also becomes permitted by the omer, as the pasuk says, kama. Lav machlal de lav bar kama, the grain for the omer must be a standing crop, implying that even if they are not standing, they become permitted. Finally, the pasuk says, Asha tizara mishas zriya. As long as the grain was planted, it becomes permitted by the omer.